Hi there, my name is Bill Colburn. I'm a program manager on the Parallel Development Tools team, and I'm here today to talk to you on a screencast about a couple of features of the new Parallel features in the profiler for Visual Studio 2010. And what I have in front of you here is an actual profile that we've already captured. If you've seen a couple of our other screencasts already that James Rapp did, you will have already had a basic run through on the application and how to use it to profile your application, how to use our tool to profile your application. What I want to show you here are a couple of features that I think you'll find useful. So as you're adopting the new programming models that we talk about in Visual Studio 2010, such as a Parallel 4 or a Parallel Link, to help you achieve greater concurrency in your own programs, what we've done within the profiler is we've added, as we help you visualize the concurrency of your multi-threaded application, we've added markers. And so these little blue teeth that you see here, as I hover the mouse over it, you can see it says Parallel 4, and there's a bigger version of it out here that's already expanded a little bit that's also a Parallel 4. So this will be your first indication that you're of where those parallel instances are occurring with your within your program. So as we zoom in, as James has talked about in a previous screencast, we just click and drag and let go, and then we zoom in to a shorter period of time. You can see that the milliseconds here across the top are spread out and expanded as we zoom in. And so what I can do right now is I can hover over this marker for a Parallel 4, confirm that that's what it is, and then when I click on it down below, I can see that the title is Parallel 4 Loop, and the duration in milliseconds is 17.52. So one of the things you typically want to do when you're profiling an application is to actually measure the time that you spend in certain phases of the application. So in addition to offering measurement for those markers, we also have the tool over here you can see me hovering on, which also says measure mode on and off. So as a side note, I could confirm by clicking that tool and then dragging and dropping that the measured time is about 20 milliseconds. So I was a little sloppier than the actual profiler in terms of measuring the time, but you can see this is another way to measure time passage within your profile to estimate how long it's taking for things to happen. So the other thing we can see that helps us confirm that there is some additional parallel concurrency happening during this time period is go back to the CPU utilization. And so if you recall from the previous view, again, we synchronized the views between threads and CPU utilization. You can see the same spikes in utilization up to 2.5 roughly processor cores on average, their logical cores being used. And then you go back and you can certainly see the activity here. So this will be a great tool to help you as you begin to adopt these new programming models. It's a great way for you to begin to confirm when and where those things are happening. In this particular example, you can see it's titled Mandelbrot Fractals. This is a demo that one of our other program managers built, and it has both parallel and serial phases, so you're able to see very quickly how it performs in parallel, how it performs in serial. So it's a nice tool to help me demonstrate to you this particular feature. So what I'd like to do now is flip over to another profile that I took. This is a matrix multiplication program. And it's written, it's a native program, by the way, as you know, hopefully you know, we support both native and managed code. In this particular case, it's native code, and it's a C application that's doing a basic matrix multiplication using four threads. The thing I want to show you here is we've talked about in other screencasts, we have the disk I/O channels here at the top, and they can be actually quite useful. And I wanted to show you one particular way to find out what's going on. So here at the far right end of the application, I'll zoom in on that. Well, actually, there we go. What I have here is I actually have some activity going on. Down on the bottom of the screen, I have file operations selected. So you can see if you notice the table before, it may have had other files in it. And now that I've zoomed in, we've filtered the activity to just what's visible on the screen. And so you can see that during the time on screen, during these purple sections, I'm actually doing some reading from a file called bitmap. And you can see I've got the number of bits read and a little bit of latency there. I've also got a file that I'm writing, which is the output from the matrix multiplication. So once I fill the matrix with the values that I've calculated, I need to write that matrix out. And so you can see here, this is the output phase of the application. So again, if I go up here and click on the actual part of the thread, I can see here by hovering the categories I/O that I'm doing a write file and so on, and I can see how long it took. And then down below, in the bottom half of the screen, I can see that I've got the same category I/O, API write file, how long it took, and then the exact lines of code that we're executing. So this is your actual call stack for that line of code, for that particular point in time, excuse me. During that particular point in time, you can see what we were doing is we were actually using our write file implementation from the kernel through MatMult. So MatMult's main function is calling write file and writing out a file. So the next question is, what did we write? And again, what we wrote was demo projects MatMult 2 out. So it's kind of nice. In this particular case, it's quite obvious. We've got I/O channel here, and we've got I/O activity here. In other cases where you have a lot of threads showing, it may be a little trickier to line this up. So one of the things you might want to do is go ahead and sort by execution time or synchronization or perhaps I/O. So if you're looking for who owns the I/O that's going on in the channel, you could conceivably sort your output, the thread view, by that that I/O channel. And so what I'll do now actually is flip into another program that has more threads, and I'll show you how to do this. So I'm going to show, I had hidden a bunch of threads. What I'm going to do now is show all the threads in this particular application and zoom right out. So we can see this is the same application that James Rapp has shown in some previous sessions, and right now it's sorted in a different sequence, and this can be very useful. So if I go in here, the start time is the default sort sequence for any profile that we load for you. So once we load it up, we can see that it's in that sequence. But if I'm more interested in execution, maybe what I want to do is sort by execution, and then what I could do is go and hide the threads I'm less interested in based on them doing less work. In this particular case, that's a fairly straightforward thing for me to do because it happens to help me isolate one particular phase of the program by the way it's sorted in the result. So those are kind of the main features I really wanted to run through today. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about how to identify when you're using the new parallel programming models that we're talking about in Visual Studio 2010. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the how to do the disk I/O channels and how to write files. And I wanted to show you how to do sort sequences. And then the last thing I want to do with this particular program here, which has several threads, is I'll go ahead and show you the cores view. And the reason I wanted to dwell briefly on the cores view is that this particular view can be very helpful if you're managing thread affinity on your own. As you can see here, it says context switches that also cross from one logical core to another can reduce your performance. And this is absolutely true. Most of the time, if you're writing a client application, this is something you won't be managing directly. So in many cases, you won't find this view to be particularly helpful other than that it's informative. So it's informative here that we see a lot of threads running around on this particular box. If I go to a simpler view and zoom this matrix multiplication program out and switch to the same cores view, it's a much simpler view. So I can see here very nicely that the worker thread 5436 stayed on logical core 0. So in this particular case, we're talking about a specific logical core on your system. And you can see the green largely stayed on 2. The blue, again, worker thread 4476, largely stayed on logical core 3. Red kind of flipped over here from one logical core to another. But again, unless you're managing the affinities yourself directly, there isn't a lot you need to do about this. So again, if you're writing a server application and you are managing thread affinity, this particular view can become particularly interesting to you. So on that note, I'll wrap it up here, and we'll pick up again with another screencast shortly. Thanks very much for your time and attention.